definite reasons that the Lord refers to the saved as sheep and his children. And there are good traits in sheep, there are good traits in children, and there are not so good. And I remind pastors all the time, remember who you're dealing with, sheep and children. Sheep and children, don't lose sight of that. Sheep are going to act like sheep. Children are going to act like children. But I often think, you know, there's a time, little child sits on the parents' lap, snuggles up against them. I often wonder, what kind of child are we? That's the kind of child we're to be, one that gets as close to the Father as possible. We appreciate all the devotionals. I'd like to turn to Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to begin with the ninth commandment. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Many believe that this command speaks specifically in regard to legal testimony, and certainly that is included in this commandment. We see that's addressed in Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 18. Well, in verse 17, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges. So there was this a legal system which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then ye shall do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shall thou put the evil away from among you. So there, of course, he's addressing the legal system. No doubt the command includes that. But the ninth commandment is, of course, much broader in scope than just legal testimony. It covers far more than legal testimony. The scope of the command reaches into every aspect of human relationships. Every single aspect. The purpose of the command is to promote righteousness and integrity among mankind. And this, like all of God's laws, is for the good of man and for the good of society. God does not give laws to make our lives miserable. God gives laws to make our lives better, to make our lives more enjoyable. Doesn't give it to ruin society. He gives these laws to preserve society. So, One of the designs, of course, is to promote righteousness, for the good of mankind. Another of the designs, of course, is to prevent slander. To prevent what goes along with slander would be the perversion of judgment, twisted judgment, twisted logic. This command also serves as a reminder that our words are not to be uttered thoughtlessly. Jesus addresses that. Notice in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Idle words, whether we intend it to be bearing false witness, may very well be bearing false witness. To just express our opinion of someone else, whether it's your intention or not to bear false witness, it can fall under the category of bearing false witness. If what you say is not true, then that's false witness. The ninth commandment, like each of the Ten Commandments, there's more implied than is actually stated. And like all the Ten Commandments, the ninth commandment is very plain and to the point. There's nothing to misunderstand about thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. There's nothing to misunderstand about that. So the command concerns our neighbor. Command concerns our neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the word neighbor, of course, is a word that is used throughout the Word of God. You remember in Luke chapter 10, the lawyer who was speaking to Jesus. Jesus had spoken about loving your neighbor, and this lawyer just asked the question, who is my neighbor? He was looking for a loophole. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered the question by speaking the parable of the Good Samaritan. And notice there in Luke chapter 10, now there in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 35, we see the reason in verse 29 that the lawyer asked his question was he wanted to justify himself. So that's the reason for the question. And Jesus answering said, so he's answering this man's question, who is my neighbor? A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This man, he fell among thieves. He became the victim of thieves. These thieves stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him. And they departed, leaving this traveler half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. So it just so happens that a priest is walking the same road, comes to the place where this man was lying. And when he saw him, didn't know who he was, had no idea who he was, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. So here comes another individual. When he was at the place, he came. This man went a little further than the priest. He came and looked on him. That is, he got a little closer, looked upon the man's condition, and then he did the same thing. He passed by on the other side. But, so there's a contrast, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, And when he saw him, again, none of these men know who this individual is. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, which is 2 days of pay, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, there's a lot in those verses. There's a lot of application, of course, and can be made to Christ. There's a lot of applications. But the parable has a specific purpose of identifying who is my neighbor. That's the purpose of the parable. In verse 36, which now Jesus asked, now he's making application. Again, remember the question, who is my neighbor? Now, which of these three, you have the priest, you have the Levite, and you have a certain man from Samaria. Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And the lawyer answered, and he answered correctly. He said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So, what is Jesus saying? Well, he is saying that every man is our neighbor, everyone that we come in contact with is our neighbor. What if I don't know them? The priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan did not know that man. Everyone we come into contact with, whether we know them or not, is our neighbor. So our neighbor, whether known or unknown, whether friend or foe, whether good or bad, doesn't change the fact that that individual is our neighbor. That is the definition of a neighbor. It's simply our fellow man. Those we come into contact with. So the command, thou shalt not bear false witness, knows no bounds, knows no restrictions. Well, what if somebody does me wrong? What if somebody tells a lie against me? Does that not justify me telling something against them? No. This knows no bounds or limitations. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, against thy fellow man. Well, what if I don't like the individual? Doesn't change. Nothing changes this. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Nor do you do like the Pharisees with Christ. They sought false witness. And people do that. People go out and seek false witness against another individual. Well, you might as well bear the false witness yourself. It's wicked. And so we see here that false witness bearing has no grounds. It has no justification. So, we'll look, as we have with all the commands, we're not going to spend as much time on this one, but the prohibitions of the command, the obvious, of course, is that all false witness bearing is forbidden in the command. What is forbidden in the command is an act of opposition to our fellow man. It is that which is adverse and contrary and detrimental to another individual. How do we know that? Well, that is evidenced by the word against. Thou shalt not bear false witness against. The very word against speaks of an act of opposition. It speaks of an act that is adverse. It speaks of an act that is detrimental. Again, against thy neighbor. So, what is being condemned is, again, an act of opposition against our fellow man. Now, we can be opposed to our fellow man. We can be opposed to their opinions. We can be opposed to their ideas. We can be opposed to their lifestyles. We can be opposed to those things. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a certain act. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Even if we don't agree with someone's opinion, someone's idea, or their lifestyle, and we are opposed to those things, that doesn't give us license to lie about them. That doesn't give us license to bear false witness against them. So that's what's being condemned here. But it's an act of opposition, but I want to make it clear that not all opposition, of course, is being condemned here. There's a certain act of opposition that is being condemned. And that is to bear false witness. Now, to bear is to convey or to give birth to. To bear. We are not to convey false witness. We are not to give birth to false witness. How do you do that? Well, and we're going to get to this at a later time, but in birth there's a seed. You can just plant seeds. You don't have to speak the false witness, but you plant seeds, you give birth. You give birth to it. We're not to bear false witness. We're not to give birth to false witness. The words false witness, this is what we're prohibited to do. We are not to be directly involved in giving and speaking false witness, nor are we to behind the scenes plant seeds so someone else can bear false witness. You fill someone's head with false information about someone or just give your opinion, which is perhaps false, and that individual goes and spreads it, you've given birth to it. So, false witness. What is that? Well, that would be views and testimonies not according to truth, not according to fact. It would be views and testimonies based upon that which is incorrect. Well, I thought what I was saying was right. Well, obviously, you should have thought about it some more. And we must come to the realization that what we think does not make it fact. What we assume does not make it fact. Again, you think of Jacob. Sons told him, just presented information. They didn't tell him that Joseph was dead. They just presented some information and then let Jacob jump to his own conclusion. And Jacob lived many years believing that that was a fact, that Joseph was dead. Satan is very good at making an insinuation and leading people to jump to their own conclusions. And Satan has a toolbox full of people This is a good one. I'll use him, he or her. They're very good at this. They're very good at making insinuations and letting someone just jump to their own conclusion. So that's part of false witness. It is this act that is prohibited in the command. The bearing of false witness. It's unrighteous. It's unrighteous. Notice in Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. There's many ways of doing that, which we will get to. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. So, to raise a false report is to be an unrighteous witness. In other words, it is an act of unrighteousness. It is also evil. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Again, we've already read some of these verses, but in verse 16, if false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then we see that both of these men are to be brought before the judges and the priests, which we've already seen. And but what we want to notice is in verse 19, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shall thou put the evil. What is the evil? The bearing of false witness. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. So to bear false witness is unrighteous. It's evil. It's evil. It's also an act of deceit. It's an act of deception. And once again, that's true whether it's done intentionally or unintentionally. In Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. A false witness showeth forth deceit. So it's an act of unrighteousness, it's an act of evil, it's an act of deceit or deception. In Proverbs 24, verse 28, be not a witness against thy neighbor. Now there's no period there. Without a cause. And deceive not with thy lips. So he's saying here, you're not to witness against thy neighbor unless there's a reason to do so. Not talking about false witness there. But then he goes on and warns against false witness and deceive not with thy lips. That is, if you have to say something about your neighbor, make sure that you do not deceive with thy lips. If you have to say something about someone, and again, this would be a good practice for all of us. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without a cause. It is in our nature to think that we have to give our opinion of almost everybody that crosses our path. And wisdom teaches us that you don't have to say anything unless there is a reason to do so. And it has to be a good reason, not just my reason or your reason. And then when we do so, when there is a reason to say something about somebody, make sure you do not deceive with your lips. In other words, make sure that what you're saying is true of them. Because people's opinions have been formed of individuals simply based upon what they've heard. Every one of us have based opinions on certain individuals simply from what we've heard. We trust the person who has told us whatever they've told us, and we've based our opinion upon that person. And it could be wrong. It may not be based in, well, I trust so-and-so. I trust what they say. Well, that might be foolish. So, what's being condemned here is false witness, and of course, to bear false witness is the lie. Notice Proverbs 14, Verse 5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Knowingly or unknowingly, a lie is a lie. Now I realize there's degrees, but a lie is a lie. And a false witness utters lies. We'll continue next week. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do again thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the laws that you give us to set bounds in our lives. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all the bounds that you set in our lives. We thank you so much, Lord, that you do care enough about us, that you put fences around us to protect us from others and to protect us from ourselves. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to always appreciate that fact. And Lord, we pray today that you'd help us to worship you in a way that would exalt you and honor you and glorify you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.